Hi guys, it's me, Lindsay Pinchuk, host of Dear Founder. You've probably heard me talk about my group mentorship, Marketing Made Simple for Small Business. We launched in the fall and nearly 50 women are currently inside learning simple but effective marketing skills to take their business to the next level. Just this week, I received a message from one of the women inside that said, "I was just telling a friend how much I recommend working with you. While others may be good at getting confidence and creative juices flowing from their clients, you're the first I've seen to give tactical, efficient, cost-effective solutions for fairly easy implementation. You are just incredible." So what is Marketing Made Simple and what's all the hype about? Marketing Made Simple for Small Business is a group mentorship program for women-owned businesses. You'll work to create effective content, messaging, and a marketing process to connect with your community, build awareness, and drive sales. This program combines small group strategy sessions, one-on-one Q&A, and accelerator calls, community support, and a ton of digital resources designed to give you step-by-step instructions and guidance that you need to grow your brand. The good news, the doors are now open. You've been asking, and the new spring cohort is ready for enrollment. So when you use the code FOUNDHER, not only will you save 20% on a monthly or an annual membership, but you'll also get an Instagram audit and customized content ideas from me to get you started in the Marketing Made Simple program. What I'm seeing take place inside this community is absolutely astounding, and I really hope to see you inside soon. If you have any questions, just shoot me a DM or an email, lindsay@lindsaypinchuk.com. I am more than happy to answer them. And now on to today's show. I love today's conversation because Rachel Liverman, founder and CEO of Glowbar, talks about how she built a business and continues to do so with a very small marketing budget. Almost everything she does is about connecting with her community and meeting them where they are, and we are going to talk all about it today. Rachel is a trailblazer in the beauty and wellness industry, fueled by her own struggle to find an effective, convenient, and trustworthy source for consistent facials. Rachel founded Glowbar in June 2019. With her innovative spirit and hyper-focus on exceptional experiences, Rachel's propelled the brand's 30-minute results-driven facials to a cult following status. Her entrepreneurial drive and commitment to quality have not only shaped the brand, but have also contributed to the industry's evolution. Rachel has taken her decade of experience in the beauty industry to develop a leadership style focused on creativity, business insight, and a genuine desire to make a positive impact on people's lives through Glowbar's services. As Glowbar continues to grow, Rachel remains at the forefront, leading the charge in how we approach skincare and self-care. Please come on in and meet Rachel Liverman. Dear Founder, I'm your host, Lindsay Pinchuk. At 30 years old, I founded my first company with just $500, building it to reach 3 million people and generate seven figures in revenue for 6 years straight, all before I sold it. A decade later, I exited with one goal: to support other women in business through their own entrepreneurship journeys. As an entrepreneur, you wear every hat. You burn the midnight oil, and most of all, you pour your heart and soul into everything you do. But there's no blueprint for success. Every week on Dear Founder, you'll get to sit in as I pick the brain of some of my closest female founder contacts. Save yourself time, money, and hassle listening to the lessons of those who have already done it. You'll also have the chance to hear about my own founder journey, how I built my first company, and now how I'm building my second, as I share solo episodes filled with actionable lessons and steps that you can apply to your business immediately. Make sure to subscribe now so that we can build our businesses together each and every week. Now, let's get into today's episode. Welcome back to another episode of Dear Founder. I'm so excited about today's guest. This was a long time in the making. We had some technical difficulties with the Wi-Fi outage and whatnot, but I am so glad that Rachel Liverman, who is the founder and CEO of Glowbar, is here today to share her story. We have been traveling in the same circles for some time, and a lot of people have said we need to know each other, and here we are. So Rachel, welcome to Dear Founder.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, I'm so excited to learn about your business. I am fascinated by it. And I think that what you're doing is incredible. And I know you come from a long lineage of women in the beauty space. So I'd love to get into your story. I want you to tell us about Glowbar. What is it? What do you do? And how did you start it?
I grew up in a family of female entrepreneurs, which I feel so lucky to be able to say that, especially given that, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, there weren't as many female founders as there are today. And hopefully we're changing that path. But my grandmother founded the first accredited aesthetic school in the country in Boston, Massachusetts. And she was such a pioneer in skincare. She started it in the 70s. So the 70s was not like today where Lindsay, you and I are like founders and business owners. And like, that wasn't the norm. So she was so ahead of her time. And she just believed that people should be taking care of their skin and wanted to help women create a livelihood for themselves in the beauty industry. So I grew up in that. My mom took over the business when I was in middle school, owned it, grew it to what it is today. So I grew up in our salons, our spas, our manufacturings, like in the beauty industry. I went on to work in beauty here in New York City for about a decade. And during that time, I always asked myself, why do I not take care of my skin? I was like a cobbler's son with no shoes. And people were always asking me like, where do you get facials? And my answer would be, I don't. And the reason really boiled down to three things: time, trust, and money. Facials were over an hour. They were over $150 and everyone did facials, the nail salons, the spas, and everything in between. And so I just always opted out because there was nothing that fit my lifestyle. I was busy and I didn't really want to spend my free time in a salon for, you know, 2 hours spending a lot of money. And so I asked myself, I was like, there has to be another way. I've been in beauty for a decade. My family's in skincare. If there's anyone to figure out the other way and the modern day facial, it's me. And so that was back in 2018. And in 2019, we opened up our first location here in New York City in Tribeca. And we now have 10 open and another 8 opening this year. And we're hopefully expanding throughout the country. Today, we're in New York and Connecticut and New Jersey, and we'll be in Philly, DC, and Boston at the end of this year.
Tell us a little bit about the Glowbar experience and what makes it so different and unique and amazing.
Yeah. So again, going back to why I started the business, the current facial offerings didn't work for my modern consumer lifestyle. And my thesis at the time was there's a lot of other people that feel this way. And so what did we change? What did we make different? First and foremost, we took all of what I call the fluff out of the facial. So things like massage, washing your face, steaming your skin, any of those added things that an esthetician does that feel really nice. We actually ask clients to wash their face before so we don't waste any time getting down to business in the treatment room. And all we do in the treatment room is focus on delivering results. So you come into the room and you tell your esthetician what you're looking to improve, change, your skin, and we work with you to achieve that in those 30 minutes only. But the biggest differences are that it's just 30 minutes. You can't stay longer. And we only do things like treatments in the room that are going to make a difference in your skin.
I love that. So let's go back to when you first opened your doors, because you also opened your doors before COVID. So I would like you to take us back to when you opened the doors and how did you get customers? I mean, how did you get the word out? Obviously, you come from a long lineage of beauty, but this was your own business.
You know, Lindsay, when people ask me this question, my answer is almost like, I don't know, but obviously we did something right because now we have 10 doors and like we were able to do it. But I would say we started creating buzz very early on. So when I had the idea, actually, I started an Instagram account. And Lindsay, my strategy there was just to start posting and telling people that I started this business and to follow Glowbar, but didn't tell anyone what it was. Like my friends knew, like you would have known, you know, like if someone texted me or asked me, I would have told them. And I was telling everyone, like I was telling anyone. I would go into a restaurant and the bartender, I'd be like, by the way, I'm starting a business and it's going to be a skincare concept and I'm going to need you to follow me. And when we open, I want to invite you in as my guest. Like, you know, I hustled out there. I just created buzz locally. But I started this Instagram account. We opened, I think, with 2,000 followers, which, you know, isn't a ton, but
look, it's 2,000 people. And by the way, if I can have those 2,000 people or even half of them come into my salon in my first month, that's amazing. And so social media obviously was really, really helpful and impactful. What I just mentioned, which was talking to anyone about it. When you start a business, it is on you to create that buzz. It is on you to tell anyone that will listen to you about your business. And I swear part of it, Lindsay, whether you believe this in this or not, or if listeners believe in this, but I think I manifested Glowbar. I told people that it existed before it even did. I just was like, I'm starting a business. It's called Glowbar. We do 30-minute facials. We'll be in Tribeca, you know, June this year, and come on in. And I was saying that before we even had a lease signed. Like I just said it, and I believed in it.
I believe in putting things out into the universe, like and making them happen for yourself. And I think that you doing that is just is testament to how important that is. Like when anyone tells me that they're starting a podcast or a business or whatever it is, I always tell them, you got to get on social media now. Like, and so I love that you did that. And I would love to dig a little bit deeper. And I would love for you to maybe share like three things that you did on social media early on before you had a business that you feel helped your business. Because when you think about posting on social media, a lot of times people are posting about their business, but if you didn't have one, it's like, what were you really sharing about? So like, what would you tell someone who's just getting started to do on social media before they actually even have a viable product?
So as a caveat, this was in 2018. And so, which is kind of crazy to say this out loud, but there were no reels and there wasn't Instagram Live. So the whole video social, like part of social wasn't a big thing, right? And TikTok didn't exist here in the US at the time. I don't know if it was abroad, but so it was a lot of posting to feed. It wasn't like the like real world and all of that. So tips to do it, just start. Is my first tip. I know that we've already acknowledged that, but like just start doing it and post every single day. Get people that don't know who you or know who you are following you and start to like get tapped into that algorithm. The second is create suspense and mystery for me. That really worked. I didn't say what Glowbar was until Glowbar had a website that said what we were. So I would just post pictures that honestly were visually appealing to me.
I was going to ask you, what did you post? Like what kind of content were you posting?
So for some reason, I really latched onto the color Glowbar Red. And that was the color that I really wanted the brand to have. And it's this orangey red. And so I would just find pictures from my Pinterest mood board that really like felt like they looked like the brand. They felt like the brand. They like signaled what we were doing. And I just like posted them. In fact, I probably should have given credit to like artists or other accounts, but at the time it wasn't as monitored. So, but I would say like interesting captions. And by the way, anyone can look back, like you'd have to scroll pretty far, but like you can look back and see the stuff I posted. But I remember there was one post with this kind of ambient reddish pink background. Pink is so not our brand, but it was a little pink with a ladder. And it was just a white ladder. I don't even know. It probably came from Pinterest or like Google. I'm not even kidding. And I think my caption was something like, I can't wait for you to see where we climb or something, you know, like just something random. And like people were like, what is Glowbar? And I remember there was like probably a handful of people, women predominantly, that would DM me on there and like message me and be like, is it a tanning salon? Are you starting a tanning salon? Or, you know, they knew it was in beauty, but, and people just started like asking questions. And I would also cross promote through my own personal Insta that had a little bit of a following and then Glowbar. And the third thing I would say is engage with other accounts and engage with anyone that DMs you. So like, this is a job. This is an hour a day, if not more, beginning of your day, middle of your day, when you're laying in bed, like, sorry, but like work-life balance kind of goes out the door. You know, you have to just spend time. I mean, that's how we became friends.
Yes.
Like DMs. And yes. By the way, respond to everyone. Yep. Thank them for following you. Follow them back. Like give them something, give them a reason to follow you. Like suspense, human beings love that. I mean, Dateline, SVU, like we love suspense. So create that on Insta and then give back. Like they're following you. That's actually like them investing in you and whatever you're doing. So
that's so what was it like when you opened your doors? I mean, because you opened your doors and you did have a community of following you already.
It was it was wild. Like, chaos is like, has a negative connotation. It wasn't negative. It was like wildly amazing and incredible. All of that hard work of engaging with human beings before we even opened our doors paid off. So they wanted to know, what does a 30-minute facial look like? And what does it feel like? Do I like the results? Did I like the product that Rachel created? So we opened our doors, and by like the end of that first 9 months, we had over 1,000 members in that studio. So people that every single month were coming to get a 30-minute facial with us. And it was
just, I was going to ask you that. Is it a membership? Is there a membership component? Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have to be a member?
Nope. You can come in just as a one-time treatment, or you can come every quarter, every other month, whatever you want. But if you choose to, which most people do, you can join our membership, which is $60 a month for one treatment a month, 15% off retail product and other perks and guest passes for people you care about.
I love that. And so I would say the biggest thing that you did is you disrupted this industry. And I think everyone loves a disruptor, right? You just said, everyone wants to know, what does a 30-minute facial feel like? You were doing something different, and that was the hook to get people in. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think people were really curious. And by the way, timing is so important in a business. Like, the consumer was ready to be disrupted and change their behavior. If I had done this in 2010, even, you know, skincare wasn't as big of a category then. It didn't have as much market share then. Like, we were still kind of late to Europe, like catching on to like taking care of this skin that we're in. So, you know, 2019 was the perfect year for us to open because the consumer had a skincare routine, even if it was just washing their face and moisturizing maybe, and they were ready to start really taking care of their skin at an earlier age. And then those that didn't from an early age wanted to do something about this aging process that we're all, you know, kind of avoiding to some extent. You know, everyone's on a spectrum, and wanting to, you know, look younger.
You know, I have a random question actually, and I wasn't even planning to ask you this, but how is like the obsession of skincare amongst the younger generations, like including like my teenage daughter, like how is that impacting your business? Is it, are you getting younger kids wanting to come in? Because I've never seen anything like what goes on in my home.
So that's wild because it is real. So yes, they are spending afternoons in Sephora. I'm sure you've had to go to Sephora with your daughter and her friends, and they like run around and they know every brand and the product.
I had to wait in line 50 people deep the other day. It was like Saturday night. We were stopped in Sephora on our way to dinner, and I had to wait in the line 50 people deep to buy. I don't even remember what I was buying.
Right. It's wild. It has been a welcome, you know, change, or like, you know, shift. We have parents that have to sign like a waiver for their, like a permission slip basically for their 14-year-old daughter or son to get a facial. And yeah, it's been a really positive shift for us. We see a lot of young kids. We obviously tweak the treatment. We're not going to put, you know, glycolic acid on a 13-year-old face, but we'll give you a hydrating mask. And if you, you know, maybe even an exfoliant of some sort, maybe you do have a blackhead that we can get out for you. Like, we modify it for them, but it's been really fun. We actually have a lot of birthday parties at Glow Bar. And in fact, you and I are both Jewish. So the bar and bat mitzvah world is very eager to have facial bars at their bar and bat mitzvahs. And we're hoping to do our first this year. And I'm all for it because I'm like, yes, like however Glow Bar can support anything related to Judaism, we are like all for. Yeah, but it's been hysterical. They're into it and they know more than I do. They really do.
I know. It's absolutely wild. It is wild. So I want to kind of shift gears for a second. I would like you to touch upon, what did you do when COVID happened?
Yeah.
How did that affect you? I mean, I'm sure you panicked, but like the world panicked, but I mean, you're touching people's faces.
Yeah. So, I'll tell you what we did. And then there's kind of an interesting piece to this. So March 16th, 2020 happened. And I know you're in Chicago. I'm in New York. March 16th was a day in New York where Governor Cuomo said end of business that day. Every business needs to shut down for those 2 weeks, I think was the first, you know, we all were going off of like 2 week markers and then it ended up being like a year. But, you know, shut down end of day, March 16th. So we did. And we just told everyone we don't know what's happening. And ended up having to furlough our team after about a month. And then we started looking for guidance from the governor, from the state, for, you know, facials, estheticians, cosmetologists. What can we do? What can't we do? Because remember, hairdressers and barbers were at some point allowed to reopen because they were a necessary, I forget the term. I was trying to remember it yesterday, but they were allowed to reopen. Some restaurants were allowed to reopen to do delivery or, you know, curbside. Gyms were not able to be reopened, but they were getting a lot of direction. And us estheticians weren't. They never mentioned us. They would always say, you know, this is the guidance we're giving to hairdressers. This is the guidance we're giving to fitness, restaurants, and never a mention of skincare, which, you know, we're a predominantly female industry. The leadership is predominantly male, and they don't really understand how important this industry is, how prosperous it is, and how much of a service it is in people's lives. So we didn't get a lot of direction. So I actually ended up lobbying with a few other estheticians here in New York and lobbied with our governor in Albany to get direction. And we finally got through to him. And so it took 6 months, but in September of 2020, we were allowed to reopen with certain protocols. So we had to wear gloves and masks and face shields and have shields over our clients. Now, what I mentioned at the beginning was really interesting is that estheticians training is in each state a little bit different, but on average, it's about 600 hours to become an esthetician. About 150 hours of that, if not more, is all focused on sanitation and protecting yourself as an esthetician and your clients from bodily fluids, bacteria, and all of those things. And yet we were, you know, like told that we couldn't reopen when majority of our training is on how to keep everyone safe. So in fact, like we all knew that better than anyone really did. Even restaurants, you know, like we use alcohol between every single part of the treatment and, you know, all the sanitation things. So that was kind of funny because it just showed how much they don't know what estheticians really do and their training and how they can, you know, really support in a time like this. So that's what we did. It was hard. And I would say, Lindsay, I wish every new business had 6 months off when they first opened to pause operation, shut everything down, regroup, and really figure out how they can reopen stronger because we learned a ton.
What did you learn and what did you do different when you reopened?
Yeah, we redid our a piece of technology that we had built, which helps standardize and customize the facials. So when you come to Glowbar, all of your information is inputted into a system. And what outputs is what you should get as your treatment on that day. And we redid that to make it even more effective in the treatment room and helpful to the esthetician and the client. We also redid our like org structure a little bit. So like, what are the right roles in those four walls for our company? And what makes a great esthetician at Glowbar? What makes a great manager at Glowbar? And really updating those competencies there.
Today's episode is brought to you by Hivecast, an amazing agency providing high quality podcast production made simple and affordable. I hit the jackpot when I came across Hivecast. As I pieced together services from contractors all over the web initially to help me with my podcast, Hivecast was everything that I needed all in one place. For just $500 per month, they not only produce and edit 4 episodes, but they also create the marketing assets. Emma, my account manager, is amazing, making sure that I'm on task and that we can schedule episodes regularly and by my deadlines. Honestly, the time saved working with Hivecast is worth at least triple what I'm paying. Their sister company, Fireside, offers other marketing services for small businesses, including social media management, Facebook and Instagram ads, search engine marketing, and so much more. Again, all at a rate palatable by a small business owner. The best part, there's no contract. You can purchase their services as needed on a monthly basis. Use the code FOUNDHER and save 50% off your first month of services. Give them a try. The decision to outsource this part of my business has surely saved me a ton in the long run, and it was the best decision I've made for my business.
When you reopened, how long did it take you to get like back in business and like from a financial standpoint?
Overall, 6 months. But I will say the beauty of Glowbar and this industry is that people, as humans, we are social beings. We need community. We need these human touch points, and we thrive in that. So when we opened our doors, of course, business was not where it was because people were nervous, and rightfully so. But people were dying to get back in and be taken care of and have someone just take care of them after everything we've all been through. And to this day, people appreciate it even more because we knew what it was like without it. I mean, look, even going to the dentist, you know, I'm like ecstatic to go because I'm like, God, I missed you, you know, and they were, I think, open for a period of time. But anyways, it really was beautiful to see like humans really craving that interaction and like touch, really. So it took us about 6 months. And then the different waves kept affecting us throughout the next year and a half. But I would say we're fully back, and that feels really, really good.
Congrats. And I'm so glad that you weathered that storm. Really.
Me too. Me too.
As you guys grow and expand, what are you doing marketing wise and through your social media to generate that same kind of initial buzz you had with your first opening with all of these new openings, especially in different markets? Because people in New York know who you are now. People see your storefronts, but when you go into a new market, you're brand new and you have to kind of start from scratch. So what are you doing?
Yeah, great question. So as a brand, I always tell our team and anyone that asks, like, go back to what worked at the beginning. Like, it's not that complicated. Of course, you have to evolve and, you know, the keyword pivot, right? Like everyone did during COVID, but keep it fun, keep it exciting, keep that mystery. Like, if you look at our Instagram, my team is doing such an awesome job right now. I'm not taking it too seriously. Like, we have fun. We're opening a new market. So we play on that new market community. So we're opening in Philly next week, which we're so excited about. And the team just, they're so funny and clever. But Philly has this, I think his name is Gertie. It's their mascot for a team. I'm sorry. I really don't know sports. Please forgive me. But Gertie is the mascot. And so they put up like a funny picture of Gertie at our salon and like posted something like Philly, we can't wait, or, you know, something clever and like eye catching and like keeping it fun. And like, that's the stuff I used to do at the beginning. I was like just throwing shit up there to like hope that someone saw it and was like, oh, that seems interesting to follow. Let's see what they're up to. So keeping it authentic to ourselves, continuing to show up where our customer shows up. So if they're on TikTok, which all these kids are, we're going to be on TikTok. If a new social, like if Threads became what we kind of all thought it might become, we were there, but then it didn't. So we just try to show up where our consumer is. And then a big part of our business that is different than a DTC brand or, you know, a brand like, you know, other industries is local community marketing is really huge for us. So, you know, we're opening in Bryn Mawr next week. And what we've been doing for the past, you know, couple months is activating that local community. We want to meet every single local manager of every store, cafe, restaurant, fitness boutique near us. We want to know the head of the PTA and the moms groups and the tennis clubs and the golf clubs. And so we still focus on social media, digital, SEO, all of those things. But really, at the end of the day, what drives our business is getting into those communities. So when we come to Chicago, you're going to be my first call. And I'm going to be like, okay, where do you go? What do you do? And what groups do I need to give free facials to?
I'm in.
Great. I can't wait. You're Thank you.
So, but I love what you're saying because you really just summarized a lot of what I share with my students and with my clients is number one, going back to basics. Like, mm-hmm. what are the basics that works? Like, you don't need to be on trend with a sound or whatnot. If something worked 5 years ago, it probably will work now. You might just have to tweak it a bit, like what you said. And mm-hmm. I love what you just said about meeting your community, because I was going to say it and then you said it. You have to meet your community where you are, and you are a local business. As much as you're a nationally recognized yes. brand, you are a local business and you are in the community, and that community is going to be what lifts you up and supports you. So even the Gertie example, like, you met your community where they were and you, mm-hmm. you shared something with them that resonated with them in order to get on their radar. And so that is something that is so important when you have a brick and mortar, especially, is going out into the community and doing all of those things that you're doing. And that's why you're successful.
Thank you. I mean, yeah. And by the way, it's a lot of work. So, you know, if anyone's listening and like wants to open up like a boutique or a cafe or anything, like, yes, it's the most beautiful industry because, you know, when you have an online business or a direct to consumer or like a product that you're selling online, you don't get to like see your customer. Like, that's what I love about retail. And like retail services is like, we see them when they come in, we see how they engage with our product. They see, like, we see what they're doing in studio. Are they posting on Instagram? Are they not? Like, are they texting a friend to be like, I loved my trip, you got to come here, or whatever? Are they buying product? Like, all of those things. And so it's a labor of love. And by the way, you don't just do it once. So Lindsay, like, you know, you going back to our Tribeca studio, we opened 4.5 years ago, what I was telling you, you know, how we activated that community. When we see appointment counts drop, my first thing is, when was the last time you went around the neighborhood and reintroduced yourself to those managers? When was the last time you went up and flyered on telephone poles with our signage? When was the last time you stood outside studio and handed out takeout cards to people that walk by? And every time they do that, business gets back on track. And so, unfortunately and fortunately, the things that work, you have to do consistently. It's not one and done. It's not 5 times and then you've got your clients. It's every single month you have to do it.
I couldn't imagine like a better piece of advice for a business owner, especially a local business owner. I just had a conversation with a national retailer who has a lot of local small stores. And they were telling me that they are really just focused on digital this year. And I said to the man, on the call, I said, well, that's great. But when you are trying to drive people in the stores and your store is built upon customer service and customer experience, you can't just rely on digital. You have to rely on that word of mouth and that community and harness the fact that when people say to me, where are you getting, you know, where'd you get that sweater, jeans, whatever, whatever, whatever. And I say, it's from this store. Like, that means something. And so how do you get more of that? And so that is what you're doing, like, in an insane way, and capitalizing on word of mouth.
Yeah. I mean, and every business is different, but for us, this is what really works. And by the way, it's a heck of a lot easier to throw money at digital. It really is. I mean,
it doesn't always work.
Right. And it's also cost prohibitive at this point. Like, so I didn't want to build a business on that because I've seen that not work so many times. But if it works for your business, like, props to you that you can sit here and drive business through the computer.
How much of your budget would you say that you invest into marketing and social media?
About 5% of revenue today.
So, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Can you think about that for a minute? Because
I know,
you know, you follow me, so you know, I preach the fact that you do not need a big marketing budget in order to market a business. And you are case study proof of that.
Yeah. Thank you. It's a heck of a lot easier when you build a business like that from the get-go and have those disciplines in place than having a huge marketing budget, realizing it doesn't work, and then switching to this because your team is aligned differently. And so, My team is scrappy. They get that grassroots marketing is what drives this business. They get the community outreach drives this business. It's that hustle. And so we've been really fortunate. But it's something I really believe in. And I think most brands are really starting to come around to it too, because I've noticed that some of these bigger national players, to your point, are starting to engage locally again after COVID, and they're probably realizing that it has more ROI and it's cheaper.
What does your team look like?
The best team ever. So that's what they look like. They're beautiful and glowing. No, my team is really small on corporate. So we have about 12 people on the corporate team. The majority of my team is in our stores. So we have 200 employees throughout, all of our stores. But on my corporate team, I have a head of people. I have a head of marketing. I have a head of stores. I have a controller. And also a head of real estate and ops. And underneath each of them, they have a couple people on their team, or one or two. But we're pretty lean.
Did you fundraise or did you start this on your own?
I fundraised from the get-go, raised from family and friends at the beginning. And then I took on about $10 million in private equity last January.
And what is your profitability forecast?
Soon.
Okay. I love to hear that. No, I love to hear that. Like, because you can tell you're growing and you're operating in a very effective and efficient way. You're not throwing money around. And that's very, I can see that.
Yeah. No, I mean, so the path to profitability is like a very hot topic right now. If you're ever fundraising, that's like question number one. It's important, right? Because people want to invest in businesses that are sustainable, which sustainability and profitability are kind of like analogous to one, like synonymous to one another. We're in a growth stage, and so we're not yet profitable, but we have a very clear plan on how to get there. And it requires a lot of things to go right. So I'm not naive to that. But that's why I still hustle and like ask anyone to come in and get a facial and get you teed up for Chicago next year, because like it requires a lot of hard work and a lot of things to go right and timing to work on our side. And also, like, I think what we learned in 2020 is like, what if another pandemic happens? Like what, like I don't take any day for granted of being in business because I've had it taken away from me. And I'm also pretty cost conscious and like savings conscious because of that. So I was in a fortunate position last time it happened, but I think we've all had a little sense of reality the past few years of like, you know, don't take anything for granted.
So you obviously come from a lot, like you've talked about your long lineage of entrepreneurship in your family. Your grandma was a pioneer in this space, not just in entrepreneurship, but in this space. What were some things that both your grandmother and your mom taught you about running a business?
I would say keep it simple. Even with your skincare routine, that's something my mom and grandmother like preach all the time. They're like, just simple. Don't like overthink it. Like truly in business, like, and in your skincare routine. The second is, all you have is your reputation. So your word, your relationships, do you do what you say you're going to do? Are you fair? Are you honest? Really like they both led by example for that. My mom, like especially, and that like businesses are run by people. And so really treat your people well. They didn't even ever say that. They just acted like that. So Thanksgiving, we had team members from my family's company at Thanksgiving if they wanted to come. You know, their 5 and 10 year anniversaries with the company, my mom got them like really generous gifts. Like just being like, thanks for being here with me. And like they showed those actions, and that just has always stuck with me.
What's the legacy that you want to leave with this business?
I really care about helping people feel confident in their skin, and not just in their little, like we do so through skincare. Like we instill confidence through skincare, but I actually think it's a much bigger impact on the world, because when we feel good, we do good. And so I always say, when you leave Glow Bar and you feel like your skin looks great, you're going to be nicer to the barista. You're going to smile at the stranger. You're going to be patient with your kid at home who's driving you nuts. And I just think that that has a very big trickle effect. And so I just hope that we can have hundreds of Glow Bars in the world that are having that impact in their communities every day.
And then my last question is, what are three actionable steps, Rachel, that you would give to someone who's just starting out?
Ask for help on anything, like anything. Get over your ego, get over feeling like you don't know the answer and you're embarrassed by it, or like, you know, like you feel like you should know something. Get over that. Ask for help. It will like help things go a lot quicker. Two, get as much feedback from your end user as possible before you open and listen. Like, take feedback as a gift and really, really ask, like, what do you think about this at every step along the way? And third, I would give yourself a lot of grace. I know this is more on like the like emotional side, this advice, but not everyone has it figured out. No company is perfect, including Glow Bar today. They're like, you haven't done this before, so you don't know what you don't know. And so just give yourself a break and just keep working hard. So that's probably my advice.
Rachel Liverman, founder and CEO of Glow Bar. I have loved every bit of this conversation and I cannot wait to share it. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing all of your knowledge, expertise, and advice with the Dear Founder community.
Thank you. This was so fun.
How many of you are now praying that you will soon get a Glow Bar in your town as well? Because after meeting Rachel and hearing about her business, all I want is a Glow Bar in Chicago. And I am putting that out into the world because I am manifesting that. So in case you missed it, we are closing out every single episode of 2024 with our number one takeaway from our conversation. So my takeaway from Rachel today is that you must start to build buzz around your brand and business on social media the minute you have an idea, or pretty soon thereafter. Start building your community ASAP. Get on social media, claim the handles, and start posting so that when you open your doors, you have a community of customers ready and waiting for you. Thank you so much, Rachel, for being here and for sharing all of your incredible knowledge and insight with us today. We have been getting so much love for season 3 of Dear Founder, and you have all been so gracious with your time, leaving us some amazing reviews. If you liked today's conversation, I would love it if you left a 5-star rating or a review so that others can find this conversation. All you have to do is go to ratethispodcast.com/Dear Founder or click the link in the show notes to leave a review wherever it is that you podcast. And if you know someone who we should meet, please send them our Meet a Founder link from our show notes. We'll introduce them to our community on our social media and our website later this year. But for now, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being here. Have a great rest of the week and weekend, and we will see you on Tuesday.